Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And I am Devin Leary.
And today we are joined by unprofessional comedian Tess Sitzman. Tess, thank you so much for joining us from the Big Gay Apple of New York City.
Oh my God, what an intro. It is an honor and a privilege to be here.
This is an interesting dynamic that I think some of our listeners may identify with. I knew you in New York, was fond yes. of you, but we weren't necessarily like close. We were like people who knew each other.
Exactly.
And then I moved to LA.
All the of big my gay LA.
And what people don't tell you is when you move from a city to another city, the previous city moves on without you. So like things were happening in New York that I did not know of. I did not ask for that to happen. It's just what happened. And all of a sudden, Devin, my best friend, was like, I am best friends with Tess. And I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't like, we never really hung out with Tess. But whenever Devin and I were talking about an issue that she was having a problem, she was like, Tess says to do this. And I'm like, me and Tess were hanging out and me and Tess went to a wedding together. And I say this from the bottom of my heart. My listeners are assuming I'm jealous, but I really just was like, the only thing that made me jealous was that I wanted to hang out with both of you. And then I was like, okay, I'm so like, I want to become friends with really good friends with Tess right now because I feel like I know her more just from knowing Devin, like just from secondhand knowledge from Devin. So I'm really glad that our friendship is growing. I'm not jealous.
I mean, she was just relieved because she was like really worried that I would never find another friend. She's like, no, I mean, I honestly don't know if you're going to find any other friends because I really don't know who would put up with you.
I was like, Devin, you have a great family. Okay.
You have a mom. Is that not enough? Your mom's your friend.
You love animals.
I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I feel so often like I have friendships with people that are not real. They're created in my mind via hearing stories about them from somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I strong relate.
It reminds me of a Martin Short joke from a movie he was in where he was like, Hugh Grant once told me, I mean, he didn't tell me, I read it in an article, but he once said.
I just sent my friend an Instagram from Hillary Duff about how she's been exposed to COVID.
Oh my God, I saw that.
I know. And I was like, everybody we know has COVID.
Literally everyone I know has COVID.
Everyone's getting it. And I was like, oh yeah, she's my close personal friend.
When I was still drinking alcohol, I once stayed up all night because I thought like an easy way to fly from LA to New York would be in a blackout. So I was like, I just need to get really fucked up and stay up all night. And then the flight is going to be really easy. And so I literally like stumbled into LAX at 5 a.m. And they were like, where are you going today, ma'am? And I was like, Los Angeles. And they were like, you actually are currently in Los Angeles. That's where you're standing right
oh my
now.
God.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to New York. I'm so sorry. And then I ran into a friend who was going to my school too on the plane. And I like, again, like I'm just tripping over myself on the plane. Hillary Duff's behind me.
Oh,
and I look
God.
To my friend and I'm like, hey, Rachel, Hillary Duff is on this flight. And I turn around and Hillary Duff is staring at me with daggers coming out of her eyes, tapping her foot. And it's so funny because my takeaway from that, even after I like stopped drinking and got sober, was that Hillary Duff like seems kind of rude until I told that story to Devin. And Devin was like, oh, she seemed rude after you announced on a like huge plane that she was on and you were like drunk at 7 a.m. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, like, I would have handled that situation differently. But I guess that's her style.
Well, I said that because I saw her on a plane once and she seemed really nice.
She was lovely.
She seemed lovely up in first class. No, I was not in first class, so I wasn't actually close to her, but she seemed like she was smiling and nice. So
okay.
I think that that's evidence.
These are two stories that should go into Dumois' Instagram.
I know, like I was thinking that.
Where someone's like, that person's an asshole. I interrupted them on their plane or vacation.
And someone else is like, okay, I had to come out in defense of Hillary Duff because I actually saw her walking down the street and she seemed really nice.
Hillary Duff's PR person writes in and is like, Hillary Duff is actually really kind.
My origin story with Tess is that I met her through mutual friends. One time we were riding in a cab with said mutual friends. I met Tess. I didn't really know her yet. And she starts talking about the bling ring and how she knows everything about this case, the bling ring case, and how she's been listening to the soundtrack for Sofia Coppola's upcoming, at the time, movie. It hadn't come out yet.
We had high hopes.
She starts talking about Pretty Wild, which obviously I had seen. And I was like, I need to know this person. It was like a meet cute in a rom-com. I was like, I need to get to know this girl.
Oh my God. Like, we'll talk about it soon, but like Kate Winslet and that elderly man and their
exactly
meet cute.
Like
Holiday.
Kate Winslet and the elderly man in The Holiday, who I, every time I watch the movie, I'm like, is this like actually a famous person? Like, is this Norman Lear? And it's never him. There's many experiences in between, including going to LA and thinking Brentwood was the most happening, trendy neighborhood to stay in.
So sad.
So getting an Airbnb on UCLA campus in Brentwood and many things in between. But basically, we ended up being roommates. And Tess was my roommate during the time that I was newly single out of a breakup. So yes, she proofread many thirst trap posts for my Instagram. And yes, she helped me make decisions about whether or not to go to a random guy's house at 2 a.m.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Of course.
I always support going to a random guy's house at 2 a.m. I mean, so, 90% of the time.
Tess is truly my hero. And here we are today.
I love this. I'm so excited for you to join us, Tess. And we have, as a community of three people, decided to speak on an amazing topic that I really think has no bottom in terms of there's no end to this. I don't think there's an end to this. I'll never get sick of that. And that's the holiday romantic comedy. I don't believe we have enough of them. I feel like we are in a drought and we need more as soon as possible. And the ones that are coming, the current ones that are coming out, suffice to say, and I think we'll discuss later, they are not doing it for us, and they might be an insult to the genre. But let's start with one of the most successful of all time.
What we just referenced.
Which is Nancy Meyers' The Holiday. Holy shit. This is a lifestyle movie. This is a feminist thesis.
Manifesto.
Oh my God.
This is with someone like Smith College student's dissertation was The Holiday.
Okay, I have a confession to make. I had, before this morning, only seen The Holiday one time.
Wow.
No disrespect to Nancy Meyers, who I love, 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 but I saw it in theaters in 2006 when I was in college because I'm old, and I was upset by it because...
Why?
I just... First of all, Kate Winslet, if she is good enough for Leonardo DiCaprio in 1997, peak pussy posse fame,
yeah,
then I think she deserves better than an elderly screenwriter.
They're friends.
And Jack Black.
Okay. No, it is a huge point of controversy.
No, it's upsetting that they present her like, oh, homely girl who doesn't get the guy. It is upsetting. Like, it's like, wait, are you fucking kidding me? This is just like I was saying about... What's her name? Joey in Dawson's Creek. It's like, that's the homely girl next door. Like, Kate Winslet is like, the girl who can't get a guy. Then where's the hope for the
rest
of us?
She's in love. No, because she's in love with a narcissist. She's in love with like a toxic,
ugly, ugly brick face Jasper.
Jasper. The name of a villain. Like, his parents named their baby
name of
a villain's
pony.
Name.
I'm pretty sure I horseback rode on a pony.
You know what's
Jasper
crazy is that Jasper is played by a guy who is a villain in The Knight's Tale. And
yes!
Jack Black's girlfriend, Shannon Sossaman, is also played by...
So,
a
mini Knight's Tale reunion.
What? I didn't see The Knight's Tale. Is that with Heath Ledger?
Yes, and it's really hot.
It is.
Okay.
Heath, and that was the Shannon Sossaman days. I think we all remember when she was like the manic pixie dream girl. Hello, 40 Days, 40 Nights.
I know.
But it was almost sad that she had such a small role in this.
I know.
She never speaks.
Yeah, she's like, even when she's supposed to have a speaking role, we just see her outside a Blockbuster and like her mouth is moving, but we don't hear what she says.
Yeah, she's like a silent villain.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is what I have to say about the Kate Winslet of it all. When I grew up in the 90s and the early aughts, Kate Winslet was posed to us as like a curvy actress.
Yes.
Right.
Like,
she's thin in this movie.
She's fucking always been thin.
Completely thin.
And stunning. And stunning. And, like, even if she had gained, like, 20 pounds, she would have looked amazing. I'm just so confused by how we think about weight. It's really, really awful and toxic. And she is truly one of the hottest actresses alive. Just because, like, this sounds like I'm really now I'm going overboard, but she just exudes sex. Like, she looks like someone painted her.
Yeah, absolutely. She does.
I mean, let's all talk about Titanic. Somebody did paint her. It was James Cameron. And then afterwards,
somebody did.
They had sex in the car.
Someone painted her like they painted their French girls.
Exactly.
Carolina's like, for some reason when I see Kate Winslet, I think like ocean. I think like iceberg. Anyone else?
I think her like naked on a couch with a diamond around her neck. And that's just how I see her.
I have like a really unique perspective where I think of like boats when I see Kate Winslet. But I'm just like really weird like that.
That movie still makes me sad. I'm not even kidding. Thinking about it makes me sad. You know how when you're in the middle of the day and you think, what am I upset about right now? Like, wasn't I just worried about something? Like, yep. Later I'm going to be doing that and I'm going to be like, oh, it's because they didn't end up together at the end of Titanic and I'm still upset about that.
It's also like, just like, I don't... Never mind. But like, I don't understand anyone who goes on a boat at all. But go anyway, next subject. Just like, well, why did you go? No offense. Why did you go?
I don't understand anyone who goes on a cruise right now.
I know. It's like, that's, I guess back insane. Then times were tough and like maybe a boat sounded exciting. But now times are also tough, but at least there's TV and that's what you can do instead of going on a boat.
Okay. Back to Kate Winslet. She's off the boat. She's going on a holiday. It would be really funny if there was a boat segment in the holiday, but there's not. So, yeah, Jasper is completely using her, and she's always there for him. And
strong relate to that dynamic.
Yes, exactly. Like, she's always reading his work, and he needs her. He needs approval from these women, which I think is a real red flag when someone's ignoring you until they need you, and then they're so flattered that they need you that you drop everything. Right.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I'll say about the Jack Black of it all. I understand that they don't necessarily match attractive-wise, but in how I look at him, I think he is so fucking hot. Same. It overwhelms me. I've watched Same. School of Rock twice in the past year, and each time I've just been watching it with bated breath. Like, I just think he's so cute. He's so kind. I just love him. I'm really excited for Kate Winslet. She has two guys in this movie.
The truth is, though, to be fair to Tess's point, like, Jack Black in this movie, they don't give him really that funny of lines. So his character in the movie is, like, actually not that attractive because it's like, wait, but he doesn't even have, like, he's just, like, a nice guy. He doesn't even have, like, the funniness that makes him so attractive, which is weird.
And he's very much, like, now as a grown-up, having attended a school that is also, like, a famous film school, it mm-hmm. very much reminds me, like, them in the Blockbuster with him being like, you have to listen to the score for Driving Miss Daisy. And I'm like, oh, my God. I, like, remember this time that this guy came over and he to watch Cape Fear with me in my dorm room. And he had a lockbox of alphabetized DVDs.
No.
A lockbox.
So that his roommate wouldn't take them. DVDs were valuable back then.
Oh, my God.
Did he impart really invaluable knowledge to you that you'll never forget?
Oh, my God. It was a nightmare. But, yes, I felt that that Jack Black had a lot of that type in him in this
Okay,
character.
I see it
I'm
now.
Sorry I'm hating him so much. And then also when they're, like, playing music together and he's like,
scroodly-doo, scroodly-doodly-doodly-doo.
And I was like, okay, Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny.
I know. I was like, he's trying to... He's trying to cross over School of Rock. Like, he was going to slowly be and then you're not hardcore. No, you're not hardcore.
Those songs are some of my favorite songs. Math is a wonderful thing.
Oh, my
math
God.
Math is a very cool thing. So get off your ass. Let's do some math. No, I think that stuff I like. I like him playing the piano with her. I think that's a very romantic thing in general. A guy who can play an instrument.
That's hot.
Guys, let's pause for a second. In actual practice, though, think about it. Put yourself in the position. You go to a guy's apartment. He has a piano, and he's like, oh, I guess I'll just play a little something.
I would say, could you play My Heart Will Go On?
I would be like, oh my God, this guy is so fucking full of himself that
no,
he thinks.
No. The piano, I think, is romantic. I think that we're cynical and that's why we think it's lame. I don't think he was showing off. I think that's just a part of him.
I think the piano is hot, but I am a hater and I've hated a lot on Jack Black.
I know.
And I've also hated on the elderly man who she teaches to walk without a walker in 2 days.
She puts him in the pool.
What is the timeline of this movie? They met. They became best friends. He got invited to a huge event in his name. He was like, no, I'm not even going to go. Then he said yes. The entire event is put on. He learns to walk sans walker in the pool, and all in a week's time of the holidays.
I love this. I love this. I think it's so beautiful. Okay, this is what I'll say about this storyline that I really liked. A lot of it is about friendship. Yes. Her and Jack Black are friends. Obviously, there's something there, and that's why it's upsetting when he goes back to Shannon Sossaman for a second. But they're friends, and I feel like, and we'll get to this quickly, but I think that something that I wish movies would show more is the friendship part. We're always like, will they or won't they? And I think it confuses us for actually how to get into relationships. And our friend Hannah, who we mention a lot, once I literally asked her, like, how do I tell someone I like them? Because I would literally just think someone was attractive and like nice and be like, how do I tell that person that like we should be together after a week? And she would be like, why don't you be friends with them first? And I was like, oh, trick them. Yeah, totally. But I was like, oh, yeah, lie and like figure out how to do it after a few months. Sure, I'll know more info to manipulate them then. No, but I was basically like, I like watching people get to know each other.
No, I do too. I so agree that it's like oftentimes in movies, they like skip over that part. And obviously they have limited time, but they'll be like, oh, we just have such a connection. And I'm like, literally, have you ever spoken? You guys had one meal together.
And it makes you root for them more when you see a back and forth, when you see a dialogue, which, you know, I want to talk about Cameron Diaz before we jump to our next movie. Because she has an amazing storyline here too, where she does jump in bed immediately with someone, and that is Judith Law. Judy Law, who has never been hotter because he really performs with the complex masculinity of a widower with two daughters who's emotional. And Cameron Diaz is the career obsessed lockdown one. Tess, you and Cameron are sort of in similar lines of work.
Okay. I thought the same thing.
I thought the same thing, and I'd forgotten that that was her job. And also, shout out to the fake movie trailer with Lindsay Lohan when Lindsay Lohan was a movie star. R.I.P. to that life. Sorry. But she does have a similar job. They later explained that she owns the movie trailer making company, which made me feel a little bit more relieved because since she's producing...
So rich.
I was like, oh, where is my mansion with
billions
a home,
of dollars?
With a home gym?
Truly billions of dollars? Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, something has changed in this industry in the last 15 years. And
I know. Well, also, like, I just have to say, I always think when I watch this movie, like, I know that British people and like Irish people think LA and Hollywood is like the most amazing place in the world. But to me, I'm like, how could you pass up Christmas in like the most picturesque, beautiful English countryside for Christmas in Bel Air?
I know.
They make Bel Air look very much like classic Hollywood. I would choose Bel Air in this scenario only because I'd want to be friends with the old rich guy and hump Jack Black. But I also understand the cottage experience. The cottage experience, though, really scares me. If I were Cameron Diaz and I got to that little hole in the wall, I would be like, I will die here.
Well, I have some questions, and I know I keep like questioning the logistics of this movie, but back in 2006, this home exchange program, I'm like, that Cameron Diaz's mansion, and she gets to use her car, like she's using her Lexus.
Right.
I was like, this would be like a gazillion dollars on Airbnb in modern times, but she just does a random home switcheroo, and she's like, sure, I'll go to your little cottage and wherever England and you can have my giant mansion and all my stuff and my car.
I know, it was also weird that she was like talking, like chatting with Kate Winslet, and that Kate Winslet was like, it's only available for home exchange. Like, I was like, wait, does anybody do that?
No, it makes zero sense logistically. And we really, We gotta, you know, bless Nancy Myers for all of her wild fantasy choices.
Oh, I guess that's why we got the Lindsay cameo, because Parent Trap connection.
Didn't put that together. Also, Lindsay was like, how much am I going to get? $6,000? Okay, that's going to fund one trip to a consignment shop. If we've all seen the Oprah Lindsay docuseries, we know that.
Which we have.
Yeah.
Which we absolutely have. And I actually
guilty.
Watched it with a group of friends every time it came out. And it was incredibly disappointing. But I did see what I thought only I went through, which was like, okay, I have $20 in my bank account now. If I sell this clothing, then maybe I can get this other jacket, which I really like. Anyway, basically what I'm saying is I think Lindsay was like, okay, I'll do it, but I need X, Y, and Z because I want to get like a Chanel suit or whatever. I love the Jude Law, Cameron Diaz relationship. They're both way, 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 way too attractive for the real world. But there was something very real in the emotional dynamics. I love that she was like insecure about her sex life because that's something that's never explored in movies about women being like, I just don't know if I'm good at this. And I was told I'm not. And it's definitely something that I felt when I was like much younger. And now I know I'm like, not to brag, I'm not bad at sex. But I love that he's like, no, you're actually really good at this. Not that we need a man's opinion, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I mean?
I love that they were like, let's have sex night one because.
Yes.
Again, let's go to a quick break. All right. We'll be right back on True Romance with some more holiday rom-com discussion.
I want true romance.
And we're back with True Romance. We are talking about the Christmas holiday and the love that's supposed to surround it, the Christmas rom-coms that have truly brought us so much joy. I want to jump into one that you wouldn't think is a Christmas rom-com, but it truly is, and it means so much to the human race, and that is Bridget Jones's Diary. I have shout-out for people saying that Renee Zellweger was chubby, or I simply cannot. She's perfect in this movie.
It's so offensive. I love Bridget Jones' Diary. I think it is just like one of the greatest romantic comedies of all time. I do think that it gave me an eating disorder. I hold it personally responsible. Like, I'm sorry, she's like a size 4. It's so crazy.
I think it gave Renee Zellweger an eating disorder. I'm serious, because people were always talking about like, wow, she gained so much weight. Those were like headlines about women gaining weight.
That's what
roles.
I'm remembering is like the grocery store, like down at Shaz, the grocery store, Us Weekly, Star magazine headlines being like, Renee Zellweger, insane weight gain to play like normal woman. I was like, wait, what? We all have eating disorders here, so I think we can say it, but everyone was rail thin anorexic, and it just was like, okay, so to be hot, you'd have to not eat.
Yeah. On the cover of like the Star magazines, it would just be, remember, it would be just pictures of women with cellulite. It would be like Star cellulite, and there are, I'm sure.
Guess who?
Yes, exactly. I would be like, me? Is that me?
Oh my God. Even worse in the movie, though, is I don't know if you've read the book, which I, in fact, have. And it's written in a diary format. And every day she, like, writes. It's so relatable now, unfortunately, as I'm old. How many cigarettes?
Stop saying you're old. You're not
old. No, I'm not old, but I'm the same age as she is in that movie. And, like, early 30s, early to mid. And she writes every day in her diary, like, how many cigarettes she smoked that day, which I relate to.
Strong relate.
I'm like 4 to 6. and her weight, which I don't relate to because I would not do that anymore.
Oh, I relate to. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't do that anymore either.
I don't do that anymore, but I do relate. Yes. And she's always hovering between, unfortunately, like 128 and like 134 pounds.
No,
I haven't been 128 pounds since like middle school.
No.
Literally, I was 110 pounds in sixth grade.
Wait, is she 5? Period? Like 5 feet tall?
Yes. Okay, I think she's meant to be short, but like it still is very shocking and upsetting, and it's seared into my brain for all eternity. Like, I mean, that is like the kind of thing that you remember forever, and you're like reading as a 14-year-old, and you're like,
right.
I'm obese.
I really am glad that we brought up Bridget Jones's Diary, because I think it's going to be my next fashion inspiration in terms of wearing skirts that are too short, wearing a see-through top. I don't have like the tits to pull it off really, but I just love the sort of, it's a little campy the way she dresses, and that she's just sort of
absolutely,
like, I'm going to be like tardy, but I think that's so hot. And I love when she's trying to get Hugh Grant's like attention in The Office. And I think their relationship is really hot, even though it's toxic, it's which I think so adds hot to the relationship.
This is one of his better roles. And I so relate to like it's trying
he's
to
born for it.
Absolutely. I so relate to like trying to like show my boobs off through my shirt at work. Maybe.
I know. I know. Same.
Or like, you know, in a thirst trap.
I consistently wore crop tops to work, and I strongly promote that. But also watching The Undoing versus rewatching Bridget Jones's Diary. What do you think of, what's the word? The metamorphosis of Hugh Grant from that character to the Undoing serial killer character.
He seems like someone, first of all, spoiler alert, I haven't watched. Second of all, I think that he's someone who just seems to deal with a lot of depression, because he's so charming, so hot, so funny, but seems like he has a mean streak, which is why it plays so well in Bridget Jones. But I don't know. He just file him under someone who has everything they literally ever needed and still has emotional problems.
I love him, and he's in so many romantic comedies that I love. And
oh, obvious, 2 weeks notice, shout out.
I know. He has
divine.
He has two roles. One is the Notting Hill role, where he's just a boy, or she, you know, looking at a girl, whatever, a girl, right? Yeah. And he says, whoopsie daisy. And he's like a bumbling idiot kind of guy. And then the other is like the Bridget Jones, like the cad kind of guy. And I don't know what it says about me that I prefer the latter guy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's so much hotter. You know?
He is hotter, yeah.
Oh, my God. And no, you, I to know. Bring a man like that, like, to his knees somewhat is, like, so hot. That, like, to be someone, like, a guy like that's kryptonite. Oh, my God. But we have to talk about, like, the real actual emotional core of this movie, which is the Colin Firth relationship. And I think it's one of the most romantic storylines in, I'm going to throw this out here, film history. And I'm speaking mostly of the scene, which I think I can closely quote by heart, which is when she goes to the dinner party and gets embarrassed because all these married couples are there. And they're basically like, why are you single, Bridget? Right. Like, why don't you just find a guy?
Right.
And he sticks up for her. And as she's leaving early, she's like mortified. And he basically comes out and he's like, I'm really happy to hear that it didn't work out for you. And what's his face? She has this great line when she's leaving where she looks at him and they're alone in like the foyer. And she's like, are you trying to make me feel like a total idiot every time I see you? Because you really don't have to bother. I already feel like a complete idiot all the time.
So good.
And he says, like, I don't think you're an idiot. I know that your mother's really interesting. A lot of times things come out of your mouth before you think them through, and you tend to smoke a lot and drink a little bit too much. And she's like, oh, so you like me except for the vulgar mother and the smoking and the drinking. And he's like, no, I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is I like you just the way you are.
I was just thinking about it.
I know.
And literally her friends are like, so he doesn't want to change anything about you. He just likes you exactly the way you are. And it's so beautiful because that's what her whole story is about, with like writing down the cigarettes and writing down the weight. It's like, how do I become this person who's together? And here's this guy who just likes her for exactly how she is. And I really ascribe to that moment. Like, that's all I want, is a guy to just say that.
Yeah.
Is this sad?
No, I was just thinking the other day about, I dated someone who, after our first date where I smoked a cigarette, I guess after the date, the guy, like, the next time we talked was like, yeah, I was thinking about it, and like, I think I'm okay with the smoking thing. Like, I never thought I would date a smoker, but I think I'm okay with it. And at the time I was like, oh my God, yeah, I mean, I totally want to quit. I know it's bad and all this stuff. And I was like, looking back, I'm like, wait, why the fuck did I immediately like bend to what he was saying and be like, oh yeah, like, I will change this. I know it's not like a personality trait smoking, but like, I was like, oh my God, you think something about me is like not good enough for you? Okay, well, like immediately I'll try to say, I'll change exactly what you said. What the fuck?
This is just like in Sex and the City when Carrie goes out with Aiden and he's like,
obviously the first thing that came to mind.
Obviously. And he's like, I just can't date a smoker. It's just a thing I have. And she's like, I'm not really a smoker. Like me.
I know.
And I've so many times told people in romantic interests and otherwise that I don't really smoke. I'm like, I don't smoke. I just like, you know, occasionally, like I'll just have one, you know, like
yeah.
with friends. It's every single day.
I want to talk about Nora Ephron for a little bit and everything that the who changed the face of the romantic comedy. And
totally agree.
Specifically, we wanted to talk, especially with Tess, about When Harry Met Sally. Now, oh. When Harry Met Sally talks, the general rule is that men and women can't be friends.
That is the thesis of that movie.
But you have male friends. And I've obviously inquired with Devin. I'm like, wait, so she's not dating any of them? Nothing's ever happened? And you've just had guy friends.
I would like to clarify that I have had male friends who I have had sex with. And... Yes. We ended up not staying friends.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard to maintain friendship after you've had
but
sex.
I do have some platonic male friends. That right. is yes. correct. And we are friends. And I wasn't somebody who had tons of guy friends when I was younger. I even went to an all-girls school briefly. So I think that if your motives are in the right place and that if you aren't expecting that person to treat you like a girlfriend or that you are you don't treat them like a boyfriend, then right. it makes for a different dynamic. And I think that leads me to When Harry Met Sally is that they are leaning on each other in the way that you would lean on someone
right.
in a relationship. I've definitely been in a situation with someone where I was treating them like they were my boyfriend.
Right.
They were not. It was incorrect.
Well, I think that's such a good point because I think the way that I recognize other people doing it is because I have done it. And I'm like, I've twice now been friends with someone and been like, I have a crush on this person. And how do I tell them? And when I was like texting with them, I would try to turn the conversation to be about something flirtatious. And I would text them at all hours and, you know, send pictures of myself, not nudes, but like flirty in that way. So it's, I think, easy for me to catch when I'm like, oh, this person is like being a little bit flirtatious. Whereas if they were just a friend, yeah, it would just be like, oh my God, LOL, remember this thing that happened? Or like, oh, I just saw this news story, like you said.
Yeah. And I think that with any like male friends that I've had, like it's mostly been like that, unless it wasn't. And then we ended up having sex and then it didn't quite turn out like when Harry Met Sally, even though maybe right. I wished it would have.
Yeah.
Do you think... I'm okay. Was the sex good?
No, no, it wasn't. It wasn't yeah. good. It was not okay. good either time.
Do you think it's because you knew each other too well?
Yes. I think okay. that was part of it. I think it was part of it. It was weird.
That makes sense.
I wish I had had sex with two of my guy friends in different times, not at the same time. But like, I've never been opposed to that idea either. No, I wish that I really had these two huge crushes on two of my guy friends forever ago. My God, like 10 years ago. And I'm really disappointed that it never happened. But I did. I had like a short fling with a guy friend once. And it was so funny because we knew each other so well. I was like openly selfish. Like, I was like, listen, so nothing's going to happen between us after this. I just, like, really want to get this over with. But I was very upfront about, like, so if we're going to do this, it's going to be like this. And we're not going to have any notions or confusion about what's to come. And I don't think, and now in retrospect, I wish I had been kinder. But it was also extremely clean because I was super honest. And I felt that level of comfort where I could be really honest with him.
Right.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I relate a lot to, like, the post-coital moments of When Harry Met Sally.
Oh,
where
my suddenly, God.
Where you think so it's going to be, where you think it's going to be, like, all normal. Because you guys are, you have this long history as a friendship and, like, blah, blah, blah. And, like, we're friends, we're close, we can tell each other anything. So, like, obviously we can talk about sex, but then it's, like, it just, you want it to not be a big, like, I always am like, oh, sex is not a big deal. It's just like, whatever.
Right.
But like, it just does change things. And
I know.
I've
wanted sex not to be a big deal, but it is unfortunately a yes. big deal to me.
Yes. And I like want to be Harry, but I am Sally, unfortunately.
That's one of my favorite lines in the movie. And I apply it so much to myself where he said there's only low maintenance women and high maintenance women. And she's like, oh, what am I? And he's like, you're the worst kind. You think you're low maintenance, but you're actually high maintenance. And I remember a boyfriend literally saying that to me. He was like, you think you go with the flow, but you're actually extremely high maintenance and need things to be exactly your way. And I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm the kind of person who's like, I can get whatever for dinner. And someone's like, okay, great, let's do Italian. And I'm like, no, we're going to do Mexican.
I know. I'm like, no, like passive aggressive, like, okay.
I guess
just was like, I don't know, I was thinking slightly different, but I know everyone that I've dated has told me that they think when they like first meet me that I'm really chill and cool and like whatever. And then when they start dating me, realize that I'm the most uptight Bethany Frankel. Frantic, like I'm just like, sorry, I'm just having a lot of anxiety right now because like we're going on a trip and like I can't
Hashtag this is a crisis.
And so I'm like, sorry I trapped you by making you think that I was actually cool.
Okay, but there is in the Christmas scene, this is one of my favorite endings to a movie ever of all time, and that's Billy Crystal running in the street to meet her at a New Year's party.
I'll
say this from a film perspective, one of my favorite parts of this is that they don't kiss at midnight. They're still fighting after midnight is called and people are kissing. And it's because their timing isn't right. Their timing has never been right. And I love the line he says to her where he's like, I'm not coming here tonight because I'm lonely. I came here tonight because when you realize that you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with someone, the rest of your life, you want to start as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's New Year's and it's not because I'm lonely. Oh my God. I died. I can't believe it. And okay, another miracle of this movie is that Billy Crystal is hot in it.
He is
such a dad in normal life. He just has such dad vibes. And in the movie, you're like, okay, you look like you're amazing in bed. Like you're an amazing kisser. Like I need to be with you. He's so attractive.
Because he's kind of fuckboyish. And you're like, yes. You're negging us, huh?
Okay, I'm into that. Oh my God. And Meg Ryan in general, I mean, she just really, I think she's the most adorable person of all time.
I love her so much.
The one problem that I have with Nora Ephron movies, and I mean the only one because I love Nora Ephron movies, is that often she does this trope where like the people in the movie who get broken up with don't care at all. Like,
yes, they do.
No. In like when Harry and Sally break up with each other, like they care. But like when
Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, like when in You've Got Mail, like the two love interests break up with their current partners and both partners are like, okay, yeah, you're right, we shouldn't be together. In Sleepless in Seattle, Meg Ryan like breaks up with her fiance and he's like, oh, okay, well, you should probably go find the one you're really in love with now. It's really weird. Like
Bill
it's
Pullman?
Like
it's Bill Pullman, yeah, right?
It's yeah, Bill it Pullman. Weird. It's like, wait, why? You just never wanted to like close that loop and say like, okay, well, maybe this guy should be like a little bit upset or this, especially having our personal experiences with men facing rejection. It's like I don't think they would really be like, okay, go on,
the
then.
One you love. They'd be go like, you fuck stupid someone else, bitch, then. You ruined my life.
I know. Fuck you, slut. Yeah.
Oh my God. Now I'm just replaying an awful breakup in my head. No, I think that Parker Posey in You've Got Mail is one of my favorite female characters of all time. She just plays Tom Hanks' awful girlfriend. And when they're stuck in an elevator together with a bunch of people, everyone's spilling their hearts out. Like when the elevator offerman is like, you know, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to propose to Bernice. And this old woman's like, I'm going to talk to my sister again. And Tom Hanks is like, if I ever get out of here. And Parker Posey's like, oh, I'm out of my Tic Tacs.
I know.
I love Parker Posey so much.
She looks at him and she's like, what?
She's a genius. She's truly a genius. Like,
if I ever get out of here, I'm going to get my eyes lasered.
Okay, I know. Guys. Well, You've Got Mail is a movie that I was watching like 2 years ago. And I was like, I've seen You've got me mail a million times. It's so great. I'm going to watch it. It's Christmas time. Why not? And I realized I had never seen the whole movie.
Really?
I never got to the end. I was like, wait, it becomes springtime? I never knew this.
I'm shaking my head.
You just never knew if they got together or not?
This has happened to me with a lot of movies where I have seen them, bits and pieces of them, so many times on like the USA Network or whatever.
Right.
That I like, in my mind, I'm like, I've seen that movie 1,000 times, but I never got to when they got together. I never got to her being sick with the sniffles in her house and he comes over.
Daisies. He brings daisies over.
I know.
Her giant apartment.
I thought it was Christmas the whole time.
Her entire brownstone that belongs just to her, and she owns a struggling mom and pop. Yeah.
Okay, I have to talk about another amazing end of line. Nora Ephron's writing is spectacular, and that's when Tom Hanks, quote unquote, leaves her to go meet her secret pen pal, and he goes, "I've been thinking," and she knows already. She's like, "What?" And she knows already what he's going to say, and he says, "If I was in Fox Books and you weren't the shop around the corner," and she just goes, "Yeah, I know." And he goes, "I would have asked you out to dinner, and I wouldn't have been able to wait 24 hours before calling you. And I would have said, do you want to go to the movies, or do you want to rent a movie, or do you want to go to dinner for the rest of our lives as we both shall live?" I mean... I don't know what to do with that. I don't know if I want that in my life. I want like I don't want a big romantic moment. Like, I think guys think you want like your name spelled in candles, or like the Kardashians who get like a truck full of roses spelling like
with like Kenny G like playing like his saxophone.
Yeah.
That seems awful to me and so stressful. I would just be like, how much money did you spend on this? Because this is really concerning.
Because we actually could have bought Meg Ryan's brownstone with all this money that you spent.
We could have, you know, cured world poverty. We could have solved world poverty. No, I just want someone to say something like that. I just want someone who's effusive with emotion. Not too effusive. Like, I don't want like a fucking scavenger hunt to tell me you love me.
Your love language isn't gifts. Your love language isn't gifts.
It's thoughtfulness. I always say that when people ask what I want for Christmas or Valentine's Day, I say I want a nice card.
Wait, you guys, do you have a problem? Like, do you find that You've Got Mail still holds up even though it just feels so of its time? You know what I mean? With like the
it
Barnes and Noble.
It absolutely holds up for me.
The Barnes AIM. And Noble of it all and the AIM of it all. I know. Yeah. I mean, no, I
love,
don't think
love,
it holds
love,
up.
Love, love, love.
Also because I feel like I keep this past election, it kept ringing in my ears, the line where she's like, and you know what? I didn't vote in the last election because
she didn't
at the time,
vote for Trump.
I know, but at the time it was probably like, oh my God, that's so cute and funny. Like, she's like a Democrat, but she just assumed Clinton would win. Meanwhile, if someone said that now, you'd be like, so you actually are a militiaman who doesn't believe in coronavirus.
Okay, yeah. I have to say something about the role of Greg Kinnear in You've Got Mail is obviously based off of her marriage to Carl Bernstein.
Oh, interesting. Have you guys ever read or seen the movie Heartburn? It's Heartburn, right?
Obviously.
Of course.
Yes.
So
it's
good.
Read the book, watch the movie. It's recommend it for anyone going through a cheating experience, a betrayal, or a breakup. It's very moving, and Jack Nicholson could get it forever hot. I think that, yeah, Carl Bernstein was this journalist who actually ended up cheating on her, and that's all about what Heartburn is about. But she paints Greg Kinnear as this paranoid, like self-obsessed journalist who's super self-important. And that's why when she says she doesn't vote in like a city council race, Devin, it's not the presidency. But she does. No, it's not.
Yeah, she's talking about the presidential election.
No, she's not, babe.
Wait, yes, she...
I will take you to small claims court.
As somebody who's only seen this movie all the way through one time, as it turns out, I don't remember this exchange, so I have nothing to add.
I have to say something. I watched it last week. Last week. I'm not being hyperbolic. It was on TV.
She says, I didn't vote in the city council race.
It's something like that, yeah. Because I remember thinking, like, if you didn't vote in the election, that is kind of like a weird thing. Like that's not a small deal. But it was something, an election.
Carrie Bradshaw isn't even registered to vote.
I know. By the way,
and Samantha votes based off attractiveness.
So she obviously voted for Biden.
If you babed me on this and you're wrong, if you said, no, she's not, babe, and you're wrong, I will revel in being right. I will literally never stop glowing from the joy of being right if I find out I'm right about this. But anyway, we have to take a quick break and we will be right back with more true romance.
I want true.
Welcome back to True Romance. Since this is a movie-centric episode, we thought it would be the perfect opportunity for us to introduce a new segment that was actually gifted to us by a friend. The segment is called Quarantween, and it is the brainchild of my good friend, Jesse Konevsky. Jesse is the human embodiment of 90s and early aughts pop culture. When I went to her baby shower, there was a table that was just dedicated to her friends from the O-Town scene, meaning her friends that she met outside O-Town concerts. And one time I DM'd her a picture that came up on this Hilary Duff fan account that I follow. And it was a picture of Hilary Duff with Ashley Parker Angel from O-Town, so obviously taken in the early aughts. I DM it to Jessie and she responds, oh yeah, I was there, and proceeds to send a picture of herself at the same event with Ashley Parker Angel in the same outfit. And then a picture of Ashley Parker Angel holding a Superman figurine. And I said, what's with the Superman figurine? And she said, oh, we gave that to him as a gift in the parking lot. Anyway, so she just is my favorite person on to talk to about many of these subjects, including and especially teen movies. And she had the idea to start doing reviews of all the teen romance movies she's been watching in quarantine and call it Quarantween. So what you're about to hear is the first installment of that. Please take a listen.
Hey guys, Jesse here with your True Romance Quarantine Report. This week I'm going to talk about one of my favorites. It's a Netflix original movie and it is called Tall Girl. It's a wild ride. I'm excited to get into it. So here I go. Tall Girl is a movie about a girl who is 6'1", and that is just the end of the world for her. There's nothing worse in her eyes than being 6'1". Which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because if anybody watched Clueless, which if you didn't, you've got to go do it right now. Cher is like, I want to be 5'10 like Cindy Crawford, who was a supermodel at the time. And like 6'1", not that much taller than 5'10". I mean, I don't understand the big problem. She doesn't seem to have any physical ailments. I can understand like if she had scoliosis or something. But like she doesn't have any of those problems. Her biggest issue is that she can't find women's Nikes in her size. And she's just looking at it like, why even get out of bed if I can't get a cool pair of Air Max that's for ladies? Okay, so we get it. She's tall. She's miserable. The kids at school are making fun of her. Now, when I say they're making fun of her, they're not like giving her death threats or anything like that. They're just like, how's the weather up there? And you're not Taylor Swift, you're Taller Swift. But still, she has to wonder if this is a life worth living. She actually comes from a great home. I found myself extremely attracted to the father in this film. I know that their target audience, there's probably a lot more eye candy for them. But for me, Steve Zahn, it was his cutest role since Lenny in That Thing You Do, Dad and Tall Girl. Anyway, she has two best friends. One is a super cool chick who's like kind of her rock and her cheerleader. And the other is this kind of weird, quirky guy who like carries his books around in a milk crate. And he's been in, like, love with her his whole life. But, like, nothing about her home life or her friends or anything is doing it for her. She just wishes she wasn't tall. All of a sudden, a foreign exchange student shows up. They hit it off. They have chemistry. He's her height, so all is right in the world. And what happens? He ends up being a douche, too. Suddenly, she realizes that the kid who carried around the milk crate that was in love with her his whole life, like, maybe he's the one for her after all. They go to kiss. He can't reach her lips. What does he do? He turns over the milk crate, stands on it, and we have a happy ending. My thoughts on this movie is there is weird sexual energy with everyone who is the same height all throughout it. You didn't feel too much for the tall girl because I would give up all my Nikes to, first of all, look like her, have a family like hers, have a best friend like hers, but okay, fine. Kind of weird. The premise was a little strange, but did it take me out of 2020 for a couple minutes? Yeah, it did. Hour and a half out of 2020, just screaming at my TV. It's okay. You don't need the Nikes. I would say 5 out of 5 stars. The one thing I do want to talk about is this movie character of the best guy friend who has been in love with you his whole life. Who is that happening to in real life? I would love to know. Has that happened to any of you guys? Because that has never happened to me. Never happened to any of my friends. None of my friends ever called me up and was like, hey, you know Bobby, my best friend? It turns out he's been in love with me this whole time and he's not a troll and we're getting married. That doesn't happen. Let me think about my guy friends in high school for a minute. Okay, I had one guy friend that I met outside an O-Town concert in Long Island. He came up to me after the show. He said, hey, what's your name? I said, Jesse. He said, do you live in Brooklyn? I said, yes. He said, can I get a ride home? I said, yes. Because I guess my mom never taught me that you shouldn't just give a ride, an hour and a half ride, to some random guy at an O-Town concert and be alone in a car with this complete stranger at night. I didn't learn that lesson. I will say we hit it off right away and there was no trouble, but that seems like just a bad decision on my part. Anyway, my other best guy friend, because I surround myself with a very high quality person, was just obsessed with blowjobs in high school, which most guys are. You can't blame them. But he would like go up to any girl and be like, want to give me head? Can you give me head? Any interest in giving me head? I'd like some head. So, I mean, we were never going to turn to each other and be like, oh my God, you're the one for me. That was never going to happen. I will say there was this one girl in high school who threw like a super sweet 16 type party. It was a huge blowout party. We were having a good time at her party. And then this other girl from school was like, I'll give all the guys blowjobs. Let's go out to the bushes. And she like started going down on guys and they were just standing there in line like, great, here's our time to get blowjobs. The birthday girl found out, went nuts. She like took the girl's birthday gift, threw it across the dance floor. She was like, get out of my party. Anyway, my best guy friend married the birthday girl. And guess what? She loves giving head. Anyway, if you happen to be a person whose guy friend was in love with you the whole time, show yourself, because I don't believe that's a thing that exists in real life. That being said, I absolutely love it in movies, especially teen movies. And so, tall girl, 5 out of 5 stars, must-see TV. And yeah, I'm almost 40.
Thank you so much, Jesse, for that stunning piece of journalism and for your raw reporting. Now we're going to get back to holiday rom-coms. So let's talk about, I would say, probably the fat-shamingest holiday rom-com of all time, second to Bridget Jones, as we discussed, which is Just Friends. Which basically the theme of the movie is not only Christmas-themed, but also if you lose weight, you can make someone fall in love with you. And yeah, that's just not true.
Not true. And also, you don't want to be in love with someone who doesn't love you at any size. And that's what the movie Juno taught me. He's like, find right. someone who loves you no matter what. Fat, also, old, I'm like, skinny.
Just Friends, like, I was like, wait, what is so great about this girl? Like, I felt like what Heath Ledger said in 10 Things I Hate About You. Like, does she have beer-flavored nipples? Like, why are all these guys obsessed with her? She's so boring. She's like, I want to be a teacher. That's her only personality trait. She's not funny.
This is a problem I have with guys that I've fallen in love with. I'm like,
what,
we
that
have
they don't
fun.
Have a personality?
No, that I'm like, we have fun. You think I'm funny. You want to talk to me. And then you go for these girls that you have nothing to say, but they're arm candy. And I'm right. not trying to hate on other women or like compete with other women. I just mean that I'm like, I know we have more chemistry.
Right.
No offense to Amy Smart, who may be a lovely person, but that is very much her, that was like very much her niche, is being like right. this girl next door who someone was obsessed with. I don't know if you saw the movie Road Trip, but like had basically no personality.
Of course, I saw the movie Road Trip. Tom Green.
Boston, Massachusetts. Is that the line from the movie?
No. Oh, yeah. No, no, that is it.
I've never seen it.
It's really funny, actually.
It's so bad. Yeah, Amy Smart is like very much that, like she's that type to a T. Like she has like no personality, like super cute, super girl next right. door, suburban gal type.
Right. What all my exes wanted, right?
Exactly. But Anna Faris is a comedic genius.
Yes. 100%. Main takeaway.
I mean, main takeaway. And the second main takeaway was, oh, you really could just be extremely overtly homophobic.
Right.
In 2005 in the movies and just be like, that's gay. Oh my God, you're so gay. Oh, dude,
homo.
You're so gay.
My brother's
oh,
a homo. Yeah.
Homo. Okay, homo.
I know.
Oh, well, have you ever seen like a Friends episode? It's so disturbing. It's like
it is really
all
crazy.
The jokes are Chandler and Joey being like, whoa, dude, you are standing way too close to me. And I honestly, this is weird, but like if a guy won't kiss another guy on the cheek or thinks that's weird, I'm like, you know what? Just grow up. Being in the improv scene in New York City, God bless me, there would be times when guys would in the scene or whatever have to kiss on stage, and if they faked kissing, I was like, nope, forever judging you, that's so dumb. I once saw guys simulate sex on stage and one of them was straight and I was literally more attracted to him from it, because I was just like, if you're scared of sexuality, then I don't get it. I really don't.
I don't either.
Well, these men were very scared of sexuality, and in fact there's not even any sex scene in the whole movie, right? Because like in the end he gets afraid to make a move. Is anyone actually gonna make out or like do something sexual?
The only person who's not afraid of their sexuality is the MVP of the movie, Anna Faris,
right?
Who's incredible.
She was like the main funny part, because this movie reminded me of my problem with many early 2000s, 90s movies, which is that I hate injury comedy. Like I hate the type of comedy where it's like someone gets hit in the balls or like something falls on someone. Like, does anyone actually think that's funny? Like, is anyone like actually laughing out loud at a reindeer falling on someone's head? This was a movie for adults.
I know. Like, okay, I like a little bit laughed when he went down the hill on the toboggan. I don't know why, but somehow Chris Klein in like that whole situation was funny to me.
No, Chris Klein was actually really funny and really good in this, but I was like, oh yeah, throwback Chris Klein. He used to be in everything.
Poor Chris Klein. Yeah, I would say that this movie didn't super hold up, though it has a pretty good mid-aughts soundtrack, and
it
is a showcase for Anna Faris's talents. And I also noticed that Ryan Reynolds was wearing a ton of makeup. I was like, what is going
on? He looked really bad. I know, he looks so much better now. He's really aged well, but he did not look good in the movie.
He's had a pretty miraculous career, and Chris Evans too, where they've played goofy leads and like Not Another Teen Movie and stuff, and now they're like suddenly such heartthrobs. Shout out to Chris Evans and his dog, really holding on hope that we run into each other someday.
Though it's crazy that, speaking of people's Wikipedia personal life pages, it's crazy how many people Ryan Reynolds has dated in Hollywood.
Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock, I believe.
Oh yeah, The Proposal.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh my God,
they were married.
Anyone else? Probably.
What are some of the problematic Christmas rom-coms?
There's a lot of them.
There are many.
Speaking of one that's recent that I did not see, so I can't speak too much to it, is the movie with Khaleesi and that super hot guy from Crazy Rich Asians, which is Last Christmas.
I also didn't see it.
I have not seen it either. All three of us.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
But were you going to say a butt test?
I was going to say it's saved on my HBO Max watch list.
Oh, I was going to say it. Like Tess and I planned to see it. I don't know if you remember this, Tess.
Like
I distinctly remember like we were planning to see it, and then I Googled what the plot was, and then I remember saying to you like, okay, I know what happens. and it's pretty bad. Like, it's pretty disappointing.
I don't know.
I want to maybe not see it, but
I'm going to spoil it for our listeners because it's supposed to be such a bad movie. So fast forward if you don't want to hear a spoiler. But he is a fucking ghost.
Last Christmas,
it's based literally off the lyric, which is "Last Christmas, I gave you my heart." She had a heart transplant and he gave her his heart.
Yep. Oh my God. Yep. This is like that Nicholas Sparks movie that I saw with Hannah and Holly where it turns out there's a ghost involved. Any movie with a ghost.
What the fuck is with that? And also, it reminds me of a romantic comedy, quote unquote, where David Duchovny falls in love with Minnie Driver.
Okay,
it's called Return to Me.
I've seen that.
Saw it in theaters. It's called Return to Me, and he doesn't know that Minnie Driver has his wife's heart.
It's shocking.
It also reminds me of Vice, where Dick Cheney gets a heart transplant. No, I'm kidding.
From hottie Jesse Plemons, forever hot.
Oh my God, I blocked that out of my memory that he gets it from Jesse Plemons. I was like, why is
he
Jesse
becomes
Plemons?
Landry from Friday Night Lights, and it just actually turns into a Friday Night Lights spinoff.
We should only hope.
No, I remember reading that, and it was like, I read this article that was like, and then he literally gives her his heart because it was last Christmas you gave me my heart. And I was like, Tess, I don't know if we should see this. I don't know if we're going to be satisfied.
We don't need that. I guess that's a route to romance that I haven't thought of is getting a heart transplant, but I'm not in the mood.
Cut to 10 years later. Carolina's like, it's my last hope. I'm gonna go for it.
I'm like, you know what? I decided to get back to smoking. That is a lesson to you guys. It may look cool, but spending time in the hospital is not fun. Love Actually is all around us.
I was going to play the opening from Love Actually, but then I was like, is it copyright? But
it's also so problematic.
The opening is something that I wasn't aware of, and I think Tess is the one. Like, I was like, I love Love Actually. It's such a good movie. It's my favorite Christmas romance movie. And Tess was like, except for that, it opens with 9/11. And
you're
I was
like,
on second thought, I had forgotten that it opens with 9/11.
It opens with 9/11, and he says that on 9/11, I'm paraphrasing, but it's essentially like, we thought that it was a day of hate, but like we saw all these examples of love, and love actually is all around. And when you go to the airport, you see people waiting at the terminal. Right. And I was like, okay, love is all around, except not from the terrorists.
Interesting that that was your takeaway from 9/11 is love. But when I was rewatching The Holiday, I realized that Cameron Diaz also says something about terrorism. She's like, well, women like have frown lines because we have to deal with like terrorism and stuff. And I was like, did every rom-com at the time have to mention terrorism? Like, could you not have just done a little escape for us where you didn't mention that terrorism was a huge threat?
I will say that there's parts of Love Actually that I like. Colin Firth's romance, I'm happy about
always,
him.
Always.
Especially the scene where the woman who's helping him jumps into a lake to save his writing, and we see her lower back tattoo, which I couldn't pull off, but she absolutely does.
Good.
And then he learns Portuguese to be able to speak to her, and she learns English to be able to speak to him. A lot of more fat shaming in this movie, though. Like, her fat sister is a thing.
And tree trunk thighs. I didn't say it. Hugh Grant, said it.
Hugh Grant in his, again, gorgeous sort of Monica Lewinsky inspired aide is like made fun of for her weight. Again, super hot. Don't understand that. He picks her up at the end of the movie and he's like, you've certainly gained a few. And she's like, oh, shut up. And I'm like, okay, if a guy said that to me, I'd be like, so we're going to couples therapy. And also my eating disorder has woken up from being sedentary.
The other shocking thing about that storyline and is that he's like kind of into her, but embarrassed about it because everybody keeps calling her fat. And then Billy Bob Thornton plays this Bill Clinton-esque, sort of president who comes on to her, basically sexually harasses her. What is she supposed to do? He's the president of the United States. Right. And she's like a lowly aide. And they fire her. And then he's like, just kidding, I'm in love with you.
That also inspires Hugh Grant to not go into like the Iraq war. Like, it's so weird.
I know. Again, interesting that they saw the Monica Lewinsky scandal, the writers of this movie, and were like, okay, that's also something we should explore. Like, they were like, 9/11, the Monica Lewinsky scandal, porn actors falling in love with each other.
Okay, I like that storyline.
I did too. It was so cute. Isn't that guy, like, what's his name? The guy, the actor?
Martin Freeman.
Thank you.
He's cute, also hot. Okay, I want to skip back to Billy Bob Thornton and ask you guys,
okay,
would you ever?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Right?
Like, have sex with Billy Bob?
100%.
Have sex with Billy Bob or the president character? Yeah, Billy Bob,
Oh, not the president character. Disgusting. No, Billy Bob, like, I would never, obviously not sustainable for relationship purposes, but anyone who makes Angelina Jolie that turned on has to be like incredible in bed.
They clearly were like fucking when they were on the red carpet.
Red carpet,
it's like
yeah.
The couples you see that you're like, okay, clearly it's bad, but also clearly the sex is so good that maybe
she got
like
8 tattoos for him.
I know.
I know.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, they were so, she put a vial of blood around like her neck for him. I just think that they'd never really said anything bad about each other. He was like, she's amazing. They still had good things to say. She got his tattoos like removed and was like, I kind of bugs me that they're still there. But I think, yeah, just so, I just feel like he's like trashy in one of my favorite ways.
He's bad Santa, baby. Sign me up.
So hot.
Merry Christmas.
Speaking of Santa, wait, any other thoughts on Love Actually before I...
No, we should move on.
Okay, so Tess and I tried to venture into some modern rom-coms.
Yes, and we did.
We did throw on Netflix's Holidate.
I watched the trailer and let's just say that was enough for me.
It was... No, I actually thought it looked really good. I was so like disappointed because I thought it looked really good. And I immediately was like offended because like immediately the only person of color character is the mall Santa. That's like the opening sequence. And I was like, what?
Also, I'm sorry. This is what I'm going to say about it from only the trailer.
Caroline's like, I haven't seen it. All right. Before you guys get started, here's my thoughts.
You guys don't know anything and I know everything. Okay. So you cannot have two conventionally boring ass attractive people as romantic comedy leads. Let's look at the successful ones. Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson. Something's got to give, one of the best of all time.
Yes.
Tom Hanks, cute, but not like cheesy hot.
I think he's ugly.
You're psychotic. He's so cute.
No,
but again,
ugly.
Like him and Meg Ryan, cute, like maybe a little vanilla, but this fucking guy in Holiday has highlights. He has highlights in his gelled hair.
I'm
like, what is
he's
this,
so
eighth
lame.
Grade? Emma Roberts is the size of a little Polly Pocket. She has no charisma. I'm looking for something with interesting people. Billy Crystal, that's a good romantic comedy lead, as discussed. Jack Black, I will take over that. Hugh Grant, Colin Firth, like these are interesting, sexy people. That guy has a sexual charisma of a fucking doorknob.
Yes.
Is that mean? Sorry. But not no offense to him and his family.
Well, there's a thing about Netflix movies where it's like there's two categories. There's the category that like, especially in COVID times with nothing coming out in theaters, there's the category that's like the Lifetime movie-esque,
yes,
Hallmark movie-esque, Vanessa Hudgens Princess Switch category, where it's like ridiculous and it takes place in some like fake European country and like they're using stock footage of Chicago as New York City. It's bad. You know it's bad. You know what you're in for. You're going to hate watch it. And then there's the movie that's like trying to be like kind of good.
Right.
And I feel like in that category is like To All the Boys I've Loved Before and like Someone Great.
Someone Great. Amazing.
Holiday, I was unclear which category it was.
Right.
And because of Emma Roberts, because she's like a little bit famous and Kristen Chenoweth, I decided, oh, maybe this is in...
Good.
The good category, but then it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad enough to be in the bad category.
Right.
So it was just in between, which is what made it not okay and bad.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying because it was like nonsensical things were happening that would only happen in like a Vanessa Hudgens Hallmark movie.
Exactly.
But I was like, wait, I thought this was trying to be grounded. Why are they doing like a dirty dance routine and then doing injury comedy where she falls on his face and whatever?
Back
and
to then the injury like comedy.
It seems like it was made in 2005, truly, because like how stereotyped it was.
Also, like 90% of the movie took place in a mall in 2020. Right. I was like, what is going on?
It's not the 80s. Yeah, like what? And they yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I do love the mall, but they didn't even like make it about modern malls. Like if they had been in a Bed Bath and Beyond, I would love to see that. If they had been in an Aerie getting 5 for $25 deal on briefs, I would love to see that. But they were in like fake stores that don't exist. It just made no sense.
It was not good. Do better, Netflix.
Yeah.
You guys can do better. You have the funds. I want to speak on the movie The Family Stone, which I have seen multiple times. I'm a huge tragic fan of it. It's, yes. I have obviously sobbed to it. Saw it in theaters when I was like a teenager and these little kids were talking behind us and my mom did the mom thing where she was like, you shut up.
I know.
Kids behind us. And I was like, mom, be nice. You're embarrassing me. My mom's in the house and she looks at me and mouths, I never said that. She did not say that. She just shushed them, but that's how I interpreted it. Okay. And I love this movie. I love this movie. Sarah Jessica Parker, another great romantic comedy lead. We don't need Emma Roberts. We need SJP. And her and Luke Wilson's romance in this is one of my favorite points. Again, a line I love is that he's like really weird and gross to her. They're a great opposites attract moment. And he just sees her randomly one morning and he's like, I had a dream about you last night. And she's like, what? And he doesn't tell her anything. And then they like have this wonderful night where they get drunk and high together and they fall asleep in her car. And she's like, what happened to my dream? And he was like, you were a little girl and you were shoveling snow and I was the snow. And I was like, okay, so this is actual poetry, better than anything that could be in the New Yorker. I think this is actually profound writing.
This is modern love. This is a modern love column.
I love the modern love column, but the poetry in the New Yorker, I straight up don't understand. It makes me feel stupid. And then my friend pointed out that means it's bad poetry. You're supposed to understand poetry. Oh. And so I just want to throw that to our listeners. We're not stupid. The New Yorker is.
Guess I'll throw away my New Yorker tote.
I love romantic comedies that have to do with families because that's so the holiday spirit. And
what did you think of Sarah Jessica Parker's character?
I thought she was perfect because you see why the family hates her. You see why she's annoying. And also it's the worst feeling when you know that you're coming off poorly and yes, you're just digging yourself a deeper hole.
Yes, it is.
It's and I so felt relatable for her because I felt like her guy,
Dermot Mulroney from Best Friend's Wedding.
Another Dermot, high
Mulroney.
The hot scar. Oh, that hot scar.
He's so hot.
He doesn't really stick up for her. Like, I know he does, but it's like, you know, his heart's not in sticking up for her. And I think we've all been in that position and also felt that way about people where you're like, okay, like I kind of see what people are saying about you though. And like, I am a little bit embarrassed in front of my family and whatever. So I felt for her because I felt like she was like, why aren't you fighting for me more? But it's his family and it's complicated.
And she says, I see you seeing me the way they do.
Yeah. I know, that really hit.
And that's so brutal.
I know.
What do you think of her, Tess?
I loved her. I really related to her. And you know, I saw the movie like years ago in theaters and I hadn't seen it in a while. And I watched it yesterday and I had like a hard time with the Rachel McAdams character and the family. And I think my initial thought is like, this family is a bunch of fucking assholes. Like they think they're so boho and cool. But then in the end, when she's like, why do you think that you're so much better than me? It's so good. And they're like, we're not. And then they all kind of come together. And I felt like, I don't know. I also relate now to having had like siblings, significant others come over and being, ugh, you're dating that person and you're inviting them to our, I have a big family as well, like Everett's family. And it's like, you're inviting them to our Christmas.
Right.
This intruder. Like, I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want to play taboo with them.
Right.
I have to say, I love so very much. And like, I'm literally have tears in my eyes thinking about the Diane Keaton storyline. I think it's so profound. And you see the Rachel McAdams character and why she's so mean and why she's so mad is like her mom suffering. Like, oh my God, I'm like fully crying right now.
Oh, Carol.
At the end, when Sarah Jessica Parker does the amazing thing where gives them all framed photographs of Diane Keaton pregnant, and her mom looks at her and she's like, that's me and you. It's Rachel McAdams. And Rachel McAdams just like fully falls apart. And you're like, oh, you've been so mad. And like, because you're so scared and hurt right now. And every character in the movie has that.
Right.
She realizes like Everett's not in love with SJP, but he wants to marry her because he wants to do it like for his mom. Like he wants probably to her to like when he's picking up the ring and his brother's like, why are you doing this? Is it because of mom? And he's like, of course it's because of mom.
Right.
There's tears rolling down my face right now. And I just want to say it's because of exhaustion from the past month, but also because I like think that's such a beautiful message is that like this whole family's struggling because of like what
matriarch.
They're going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my opinion on the Family Stone is that I'm actively crying talking about it.
Oh.
No, I just love it. I also think it's so funny. Oh my God. It's just, I need to watch after we record this. I'm definitely going to watch The Holiday over again. I might even watch Love Actually, sue me.
It's good.
I am like a little holidayed out because I've been watching all these movies, but I really want to watch Family Stone now again because but I have to be ready to be in a cry.
I just watched it and cried. I did cry a lot in it. It's really good. But I always was a little bit weirded out by the sibling relationship switcheroo.
It's not normal. It's not
that
normal.
Is really
I
weird.
Just can never imagine doing that with my own sibling. I just find that very wild. And also back to your earlier point about Nora Ephron. I know this isn't a Nora Ephron movie. And the like breakup, like acting like nothing ever happened. Like they just break up and she's like, yeah, sure, date my sister.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna date your brother. And they're like, whatever.
I know. They're like, wait, this actually works out perfectly. We can actually just not be together. There's another movie where that happens that is slipping my mind right now that is like so blatant when that happens. But yeah, this is an example of that. And I actually first saw it when it came out. And I cried, but I remember that like I hadn't really been in a relationship. I don't even remember how old I was. I'd never been in a relationship and I didn't have anything to compare it to. And I was like, wait, this is fucking weird. Is this what it's like? Like you just don't care if your sibling starts dating your fiance? Like what?
Absolutely not. So crazy.
I just kept on thinking like you're going to be at family events, look across, see Dermot Mulroney and think I remember having sex with you. And now you're sitting next to my sister. Like, that's beyond.
Also, yeah, that, like, Claire Danes was, like, the loose, like, the free spirit Peace Corps one. That was, like, kind of stereotypical.
Their storyline sucked. He was like, I want to go to Alaska with you and see this totem pole.
I know. I was like, ew. I would never want that. He is the Hinge guy. Dermot Mulroney is the Hinge guy who would put, like...
Wanderlust.
I'm looking for someone with wanderlust and like have pictures of himself like camping and I would just immediately swipe no because I just know that I can't.
You see him on a mountain hiking and you're like, yeah, that would be you alone, buddy.
I know. That would be you with your friends.
Who would you guys choose as a love interest out of all the characters in all these movies?
Oh, great question.
I'm thinking Jack Black, probably. Or Luke Wilson, but...
I don't know.
Jack Black. Billy Bob Thornton. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
It's so hard. I honestly do kind of feel like Jude Law is so attractive that it was like painful to me.
I know.
I like forgot how attractive he is. I don't know. Like it's, I just was like, oh my God. But I do think that like, I would probably like wish that I was gonna choose like a Jack Black or like a Luke Wilson. Also, what happened to Luke Wilson's career? Where is he? He's great.
I saw him in the West Village probably like 5 years ago.
So that's what he's up to. He's in the West Village.
He's still there. He's still there.
But I feel like in actuality, I would like probably pick a Dermot Mulroney.
I know. Well, I was gonna say like I think Luke Wilson is a little bit like. Of a project, so I don't know at this stage of my life if I would want to do that.
I have the exact same opinion where I'm like, I don't want to ask you to like smoke less pot, like I just can't.
I know. And like, I think Jack Black, he, even though he's not as funny in this role in The Holiday, but he kind of like, he has a great career. He's like got his own passions. He's doing his own thing. That being said, Jude Law's house was beautiful. Yeah. And again, the English countryside, like how could you score more that you just happen to meet Jude Law, who looks like Jude Law? He has the two cutest daughters of all time who are like, daddy, so cute.
I know.
You don't have to deal with the ex-wife. No offense.
Yeah, they have an incredible fort in their house.
Right. Like, I'm like, okay, cool that you stumbled upon this and are still like, oh, maybe it's complicated. I was like, come on. You're going to pick Joel Madden over this situation, which is what Cameron Diaz ended up with. Although he does seem great.
He seems really hot, too.
Yeah.
You know who I think is really attractive to me? A golf pro who accidentally blows his finger off with a firework on the 4th of July.
Oh my God. I know that's this from the holiday trailer. And again, like, I literally, when I saw that, I was like, so is that like the dumb person in the movie? And I was like, oh, it's the lead.
No, it's actually the main focus of the movie is him.
And the highlights, highlights alone, I'm sorry, it's really problematic to me. Whoever, you just need like the rugged type. I don't understand. Oh my God. I'm forgetting an amazing romantic comedy. I highly recommend it to our listeners. It's basically the plot of The Holiday, but so much better. It's with Martin Freeman, mentioned earlier, and Lake Bell. And it's called...
I think I've seen this movie.
It's called Man Up.
Yes, it's good.
It's very good. Devin, you're going to... listen, it's on the best movie of all time. But Devin, you're going to love it. 80% Rotten Tomatoes. Like, great.
It's just a really stellar mid-brow rom-com, which it turns out is my favorite type of movie.
Yes.
Mid-brow rom-com.
I just need something. Yeah, you know what? I need something that I can be on my phone a little bit.
Yes.
And I can just relax and enjoy it. I mean, we do not need tension right now. We are all... tired. We're getting over one of the worst years in American history, and that has a lot to compete with. We need a break, and we need a little bit of destiny.
Well, that brings me to a question for Tess, because she is my movie encyclopedia and my pop culture encyclopedia, which is, what are your favorite non-holiday rom-coms, Tess, for our listeners? What do you suggest?
Oh, I mean, I always say that my favorite, other than When Harry Met Sally, which we've mentioned previously, is My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yes,
which
great.
Features Dermot Mulroney and another character that sucks, basically.
Yeah.
The asshole. It's a romantic comedy about an asshole woman, and it was modern for its time, I believe.
I love it. I love the complicated women. It's very modern. I love that it doesn't end up with, you know, a neat ending.
Right.
I just think it's really great. So, yeah, I would say that is, like, up there on my favorites. I also, like, really love, you know... romantic comedies have taken such a trajectory.
Right.
And I do love the period of, like, the aughts rom-com, the, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Wedding Planner,
yes.
Like, that type of romantic comedy that we kind of think about when we think about rom-coms. Like,
yes.
I love Wedding Planner. Watched it recently. It's extremely good.
Clueless.
Another great ending. Oh, my God, when they're on the stairs. I have to talk about when Cameron Diaz as Kimmy Wallace, which is one of the best names for the weird prissy lead that she is in My Best Friend's Wedding. Another arc where at first you're like, she sucks, like an SJP in Family Stone. But then you realize she's actually great and she's super in love with this guy. And I love when she's fighting with Julia Roberts in the bathroom of a baseball stadium, and all these women are like surrounding her, and they're like tramp to Julia Roberts when they find out what she did, and like hit on this woman's fiance on their wedding day. And Kimmy Wallace says, "Shut up. Now I love this man, and there is no way I'm going to give him up to some two-faced, big-haired food critic." And everyone's like, "Yeah!" Like all of these like Boston like baseball fans are like, yeah, ha ha ha. But it's really it's really a beautiful ending. You know, like Julia Roberts matures through it and she's done so many fucked up things. I can't get over the things she's done. She's literally like hacked into a guy's computer to try to sabotage his wedding.
It's so wild.
But at the end, she realizes that this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Again, she does like something really messed up to me again when actually at the wedding, she plays their old love song for the new couple.
Which so sick.
I cannot
wildly inappropriate.
What I cannot believe is that she was allowed to give a speech after all that she did.
Like, I know.
It's so crazy.
But Kimmy is so sweet that she's too sweet for her own good.
As Anna Faris would say in Just Friends, she would sing the song Forgiveness.
Forgiveness is more than saying sorry. It's so good.
What would be your holiday rom-com storyline?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. I feel like I was thinking about holiday rom-coms and there were, honestly, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what my favorite one is. I'm stumped, guys.
I think Tess's would be like...
She has the same job as Cameron Diaz, that's all I'll say.
She has the same job as Cameron Diaz, but also,
similar
like, I
job.
Feel like you would be, like, afraid to fall in love with, like, this... Like, this guy would be like, you're just afraid to say it, but you know you're in love with me, too. And then, finally, you would be like, okay, yes, I'm in love with you, too. And then...
That is very similar to the end of Holiday, but yes.
I actually didn't get to the end of it because I stopped at the finger blown off scene and I was like, I don't need gore on top of this. I really don't
need
to see gore.
Okay, I know I just bashed this movie, but it gets a little bit better and I do like the end, and the end is very much like that kind of thing where she has to, spoiler alert, like kind of run after him. Like he admits that he loves her and then she like can't do it. And then she like, they have this big scene in the mall, obvi. But I think that my rom-com would maybe be like a teen rom-com. I love a teen rom-com.
Yeah.
I'm big on the teens. Yeah, I think it would be like, you know, Christmas break or something, you know, and there would be like a crazy party with like a lot of drugs. And
right. Okay. I'm just, Euphoria I'm just, rom-com.
I'm just
Euphoria
throwing
rom-com.
Shit in there, yeah.
Okay.
I really identify with the Christmas break aspect and... I think mine would be like a Bridget Jones type because my first year of college, I went home for Christmas break. There were a couple of guys that I was like texting with. Over the course of 3 weeks, maybe four, I hooked up with three different guys. I wasn't a slore. It was just happened that way.
Ooh,
each
slore,
time,
throwback phrase.
Each time I had like a great time and then I was like, ooh, I kind of like this guy. And then each time the guy told me, like, I don't really need a girlfriend right now. And I was like, yeah, me neither. Ew, like, boyfriends, boring. Even though I was like, actually would accept a proposal right now at, you know, 18 years old. And
boring.
Oh, yeah, disgusting. I'm cool. I'm not lame. And literally, I'm not kidding. This happened three times in a row. This happened. Literally a week later, they started in a serious relationship.
No.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
This one guy who was like so funny and weird. We were so opposites. He like was covered in tattoos and so hot. He literally, I texted him like a week after we hooked up being like, what are you up to this weekend? And he was like, we can hang out as friends, but I'm in a really serious relationship. And I was like, he was like, I'm in love. And I was like, okay, well, like last weekend, we were together, so a little confused about what happened. And then, it just kept on happening. And then I literally afterwards, I came up with the philosophy that I haven't always ascribed to, but it was like, I'm never going after someone again because they just have to be into me. And like, I'm always the one who goes after them and like, they just have to be really into me.
Well, I don't ascribe to that. And I always go after people aggressively. And then I'm like, wait, why did they like react poorly when I went after them in the most aggressive way? And then whatever. But I think that my rom-com, in every relationship I've ever been in, I've said, I will not go to anyone's house besides my own for Christmas. Every person has said this is selfish and I still do it anyway. But so I think my rom-com would be that I, for some reason, have to go to someone else's house for Christmas. I'm a total brat about it, but I end up having a transformative experience where I become less selfish, guys, in the end. And everyone's like, wow, she's actually not as selfish as she used to be. And then I fall in love with my boyfriend's brother, and he falls in love with his brother's fiance. And then
I love that story. That's it. I would watch that 100%.
Tess Sitzman, thank you so much for joining us today on True Romance. I cannot say what an enjoyable time I had. I literally thought, what? How much could I say about holiday romantic comedies? It turns out,
quite a bit. I could go on forever. Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor, truly an honor, as I said.
Well, you are my best friend. No offense, Carolina. And I love you. And my real guys.
You can have more than one best friend.
More important to me.
Why do you want to end it this way?
Because I just want to say, more important to me, no offense to my boyfriend who can probably hear this in this apartment. More important to me than any romance in my life is my friendship with you guys, because it is truly soulmate friendships. And I just don't know what I would do without you guys.
Well, I just feel like you rated us right now. And so congrats, Mark Zuckerberg, hot or not. I feel a little bit like not right now. But what? I want to nurture my relationship with Tess, because I love you by proxy.
Oh my God. We can be cross-country soulmates.
I think that like I'm looking for more friends, because Devin's my only one right now. And
we're on thin ice.
Devin is the carry to like our like Samantha and Charlotte, who like wouldn't have been friends normally, but they came together.
Wow, cool.
Exactly. Cool. Exactly. All right, we'll catch you guys next time on True Romance.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. True romance. It's so romantic. Love me, baby. Don't leave me hanging. I want true.